have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
The Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, where the sunshine seldom shines. Up in Seattle, all the whistles go and the bells go, and the ferry boats are chugging right along, right along.
All the people love to ride the Blue Pacific on the Black Ball Ferry Line, to be specific.
While the whistles go and the bells go,
and the ferry boats are chugging right along.
Up on the upper deck, the view is great by heck. You love your Galapec and you're in clover. And when the whistles blow, you hate to go below,
cause that's the signal that the fun is nearly over.
On the Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, every single GOP and Democrat will hear those whistles go and the bells go, as the ferry boats are chugging right along.
Right along,
right along,
right along. Get aboard when the weather's fine. Take your pick of the ferries on the Black Ball Line.
There's the Illihee and the Chippewa
and the Killiute, the Kalakala.
You'll find all these on the Black Ball Line.
The Klahani,
the Nisqually,
there's the Malahat.
Well, think of that.
The Klingitat.
There goes my hat.
The S.S. City of Sacramento.
What are we doing down in California?
To ride the Blue Pacific on the Black Ball Ferry Line, to be specific, while the whistles go and the bells go and the ferry boats are chugging right along,
right along,
right along,
right along. Down in the engine room, the boilers hum a tune, they're singing love and boom with deep emotion.
And on the deck above, each happy pair in love
is holding hands and dreaming that they own the ocean.
On the Black Ball Ferry Line up in Seattle, every single GOP and Democrat will hear the whistles go and the bells go,
and the ferry boats are chugging right along,
right along,
right along,
right along. Oh, the ferry boats are chugging, chugging, chugging.
All the ferry boats are chugging, chugging.
Ferry boats are chugging, chugging along.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, where each week we try to give you the best of the thrillers. Tonight is no exception. We begin with a fantastic episode of Inner Sanctum, and then we conclude with another great mystery. If you have any input you'd like to give me, do not hesitate to write to bruce@radiomasterpieces.com, and I'll be sure and answer you. When I was a young child, I grew up in the age of the magic of radio, where every hour you'd have comedy, mysteries, and the whole gamut of wonderful programs. We're trying to bring that back to you with the wonderful mysteries of yesterday. Just have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let's enjoy our two great shows.
Tell you of a night Satan played a game of murder along a deserted strip of Manhattan's waterfront. For his sport, he chose two friends. For his victim, a woman. And the weapon, he suggested, he had long ago placed in the hands of another murderer. The weapon was a long, slender, graceful rapier, which first drew blood at the hand of Rasputin, the mad monk of Russia.
Stanton! Stanton, O'Brien! Open up! Stanton!
Well, Fitchin. Well, come on in, man. What's the matter with you? You're soaked, no hat, no coat.
Stanton, you're my best friend, my only friend. You've got to help me.
Well, I just got back from Chicago. I was going to drop over to your shop a little later.
You got back too late. You could have helped me. No, it's too late.
Well, what's the matter, Ralph? What have you done? Well, what's that in the package? Why, it's the antique sword I gave you when you were married.
Ralph! Naked steel always looks different. Coated with blood.
Ralph, you fool! You didn't...
Yes. I just pierced a woman's heart with that rapier. About 15 minutes ago.
Warned you about your temper ever since we were kids. You almost killed me once, do you remember?
You warned me about my hobby, too. You said I had
Psychosis. That's what we psychiatrists call it. Your unnatural love of steel blades, your worship of ancient weapons and tempered steel, it's off balance.
There's nothing in the world more beautiful than a piece of true hand-forged steel. It's an art as old as man.
Yes, I know. We've been over all that before, but now you're a murderer. And I want to know everything that happened.
It's too late, then. I only
came... Maybe I can dig something out of you that might help your defense. Now, Ralph, close your eyes. Close your eyes and let your mind wander. Tell me the first image you get. Tell me every detail, no matter what.
I see the wedding. Here at your house. The guests have left. Ingrid is blonde and beautiful in white satin. She's standing beside me. And you come toward me.
Denton, it was so good of you to make such a beautiful wedding for us. You are the best man ever.
No. Maybe the best second best man ever. Ralph was best today.
Well, you gave me some stiff competition, Denton.
I've got another wedding present for you, Ralph. Mm-hmm. I waited till now to bring it out because I didn't think the others would understand.
Here, open it.
Do you like it, Ralph? Is it a good one?
This is a good one. Why, it's the most beautiful rapier I've ever seen. With the balance and the lines. Magnificent steel. Look, Ingrid. Isn't it wonderful?
It will be the very nicest sword in your collection, darling. As well as your last.
His last?
Oh, yes, then. I promised Ingrid no more auction.
And he'll keep his promise this time. I'm going to change, darling. Won't take me long.
All right, darling, hurry.
You really like that blade, don't you, Ralph?
Like it. Beautiful. Where did you find it?
Well, I saw it yesterday in a small, junky antique shop in the village. Little Russian fellow runs it.
Oh, did he tell you anything about the blade? I mean, where he got it?
No, but he said it was Russian. He said the hilt was black lacquer on rosewood and the steel was superior.
Ah, he said something there.
He mumbled on about wanting to get rid of it before the full moon. Something about it being an evil thing. Claimed it once belonged to Rasputin, the mad monk of Russia.
Say, I wonder if it did.
I doubt it. Anyhow, we finished by saying that whoever owned it would have evil luck, and failing to get rid of it before the full moon would die by violence. I'll take it back to him if you like, Ralph.
No, not on your life, then. But don't mention that nonsense to Ingrid, will you?
I remember all that myself, Ralph. I left for Chicago that night. Now, what's the next thing that comes to your mind as important?
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was working on some knives in the shop. Ingrid had left. I was alone. The shop door opened, She was there.
She? Who, Rob?
Stasha. She was beautiful. Tall. White as marble. Dressed in black. And beautiful.
I beg your pardon. What did you say?
I'm sorry.
You said beautiful. There's no cause to be embarrassed. I have heard this said before.
What can I do for you, Miss
Kostov? Stasia Kostov. You own something that I would like to buy.
Oh, what is it?
A rapier. A Russian rapier. I saw it in your window as I passed.
It's not for sale.
Oh, really? Are you sure? I will pay you well. Say, $100.
Sorry.
Very well. Perhaps you might change your mind. Here. Here is my card. Come and see me if you do.
Well, thanks, but I...
Shall we say, before the next full moon, Ralph?
Ralph, if it weren't for that bloodstained rapier on the table, I'd say you were lying. How could this woman know your name or anything about the legend of the rapier?
I know how.
Well, what happened then, Ralph?
I've handled steel all my life. I've forged it, pounded it, tempered it, ground it to razor edge, and I've never cut myself. After Stasha left, I put the rapier to the stone. And as I worked, I kept seeing her eyes in the forge fire, glinting with evil beauty. I kept hearing her voice.
Ralph, shall we see before the full moon?
I turned suddenly to see if she was there, and I tripped. The rapier fell, and I fell against the upturned point. Ah!
Oh! Oh! Ralph! Ralph, what happened? Ralph!
I'm all right. Pull it out. Straight out.
Oh, no. No, I can't do that.
All right, I'll do it then. I'll do it.
Oh. Ralph, your arm is all blood.
It's not bad. It just tears with flesh. Call Dr. Burns.
Oh, those stupid knives. Why don't you get rid of them?
Well, Ingrid phoned. It cut to me that that means certainly that my fate was tied to Stasha Kostov's. That death was lunging at us with Rasputin's rapier. And I was unarmed. I told Ingrid about the woman. I told her about Stasha's offer of $100 for the blade. I shouldn't have.
And to turn down $100 for it? Ralph, that's the limit.
Ingrid, I can't expect everyone to understand some things about my character, but I do expect you to try.
I think I do understand, Ralph. I think you didn't want to sell that thing because you want that woman to come back.
That was your first quarrel, Ralph?
Yes. There were lots more. Things got worse. We quarreled a lot. It wasn't Ingrid's fault. I was changing. I kept thinking of Stasia. Her eyes mocked me. I tore up a card in anger, but I'd memorized the address. It was an old Dutch mansion on Lytton Street. I had to see her again. There was a light in the house. And oddly enough, the front door was open a bit. I rang a long time, but no one answered. I obeyed an impulse and walked in. There was a coal fire going in the high-ceilinged living room. It cast dancing shadows on a life-sized oil painting above. A cold hand gripped my heart when I saw that painting. It was the painting of a man in a monk's habit. And his gnarled hand rested on the hilt of a jeweled rapier of exquisite beauty.
Yes, the man in the picture is long dead. But his mad spirit is in this room. It laughs from within you, Ralph Vidkun. It has seized your body.
Stasia.
So the cause yourself, woman, convinced you that the spirit or the ghost of Rasputin had taken possession of your body. And you fell for it.
Oh, I fought against believing it didn't. But it did explain so many of the strange promptings that had been stirring me all up inside.
Did she say anything more about it?
No. I turned to face her. She was a smiling column of white beauty. Sheathed in black satin. Miss Kossoff, how is...
Stasia. Call me Stasia.
How is it you know my name? What do you know about the rapier?
Does it matter? You have changed your mind, perhaps? About selling me your rapier?
No, I came to ask you about it.
Oh, you came because you are confused. We will discuss it. But first, let us have some tea. Yes?
I examined the room while she was out of it. On the wall across from the fireplace were five oil paintings. All of them portraits of men. At first, I thought the light was playing tricks. It wasn't. Each face was painted with closed eyes. Each was a study in sleep. Or death.
You like my painting? Come and sit down. We'll have tea and talk.
Who are those men you painted, Stasia?
The five men you see in those paintings, each own the rapier you now possess.
Good Lord. Then they're...
dead.
And the dates on the painting?
Those are the dates on which they died, Rolf. Each on a day of the full moon. Each kept the rapier beyond the time he should have. More tea?
Stasia's eyes were eager and wide. My ears began to ring. I recall setting the cup down. I remember Stasia's voice a long way off.
Russian tea from my friend, and so a Russian legend.
This is all so fantastic, Ralph. Are you sure it wasn't something you dreamed?
Something I dreamed? No, she drugged me. It was no dream. Those portraits were no dream. The painting of Rasputin was no dream. They were there when I woke.
Stasia
was gone. The fire was on. My head ached. It was an easel near the lamp. It hadn't been there before. I shuffled toward it. It was a fresh painting on the easel. I stared at the face before me. Its eyes were closed in sleep. The face was mine. There was a date painted in it. It was January 15th.
Or,
yes. Yes, that's tonight. I couldn't find Stasia, so I dashed out of the house, cursing like a madman. It was 4 a.m. when I reached home. Ingrid was waiting for me. She was crying.
Rolf! Rolf, darling, where have you been?
Why? What difference does it make?
You've been to see that Kossoff woman.
Yes, I've been to see that Kossoff woman. Oh. I had to. I'm losing my mind, Ingrid.
Something's trying to kill me.
That woman knows about it. She knows how and when it'll happen. And the funny thing is, I don't care anymore. I don't care.
Rolf, where are you going?
Back to the shop. Back to that cursed rapier. The shop, I tried to reason the thing out. I was toying with the rapier. It was a tiny green speck on the black hilt. Idly, I picked at it with my thumbnail. And the chip of lacquer snapped off. The hilt was supposed to be wood. But here was what looked like a large emerald. While I'm pounding, I chipped and picked the lacquer until bit by bit I uncovered the most dazzling and richly wrought collection of jewels I'd ever seen. Set in solid gold were pearls, rubies, emeralds, and a magnificent star sapphire. This was the bejeweled blade that Rasputin held in his hand in his luscious painting. This was Rasputin's ring. I returned to Stasia's house. Like the first night, the door was ajar. Like the first night, I walked in. I walked into the living room. I looked about. Nothing had changed. Nothing, that is, except that mine was the sixth painting, now hung beside the others. And the easel already had a fresh canvas. Stasia was already painting a new portrait. The face was indistinct, but the date was clear. 1 lunar month from tonight. I gave up and walked home with the rapier under my arm. It was bristling and foggy along the waterfront, and I was sick inside. I kept hearing Stasia's voice locked in my brain.
Tonight is the last night you may own the rapier, Rob. But there is a way out.
A way out? How? There's no way out as long as either of us live.
There is a way out, Rolf. Kill her and come to me. Tonight is the night of the full moon, Rolf. If I own the rapier, you will be safe. Kill her, Rolf. Kill her and come to me.
Somebody's following me. A woman. I could hear the high heels on the cobblestones. I just passed that little blind alley, you know, the one about a block away from my shop. I decided to trick her. I stopped short. I spun around and caught sight of a woman in black as she darted into the alley. It was Stasia. And there was no exit from that alley. I tiptoed to the entrance and leaped into its shadows. All I could see was a large empty carton against the far wall. She had to be behind that. I gripped the jeweled handle of the rapier until it burned my hand. Only one searing thought in my tired mind. Stasia must die. I took a deep breath and drew the needle-pointed steel back, aimed at where I judged a heart to be, and thrust. I drew the blade out, and the body slumped forward. I lit a match to see her face. But it wasn't Stasia Karsov I had killed. It was Ingrid. My wife. Ingrid.
It worked, Stasia. It worked. My plan worked. Ralph reacted just as I planned it.
You mean he did? Killed her?
A psychological masterpiece. He told me the whole story in my office 10 minutes ago. He killed her thinking it was you.
So now that she is gone, you are happy. You will love me and forget her then.
Oh, perfect, perfect. She picked that stupid fool instead of me. Now she's dead and he'll die too.
Oh, Denton, I am so glad. I would do anything
Everything
for you.
Went like clockwork. This rapier I found in your attic, the legend I made up, the phony paintings of former owners, your flirtation, perfect, perfect. The perfect murder, I've done it.
Did my acting please you, Denton?
Oh, you were magnificent, but there's only one weakness to my plan, Stasia.
What is it?
When Ralph is picked up, there must be no way for anyone to find out that you and I know each other, Stasia.
No, and no one will know, darling.
Ralph's fingerprints are still on this rapier. To be electrocuted for one murder might as well be for two.
Damn it. No! I love you!
I'm sorry, Stasia!
I love you. I will wait for you.
Very neat stroke, then.
Rolf!
I heard everything you said, then. But I didn't have to, I knew. Now, don't move. The gun is faster than a rapier.
How did you know, Ralph? Something I said tonight?
No. No, something I saw. Stasia loved you. The painting I saw on her easel tonight, the one I told you she'd begun, was your portrait. The only way I knew was because, as an artist, she was conscious of a scar on your part. She painted that in first.
The scar you gave me as a kid. Oh, you've a lot more brains than I gave you credit for, but at least we'll burn together.
Sorry, Denton. I'll have to decline that honor.
Ralph! Ralph, am I too late?
Ingrid! Ingrid, no, you're dead. Ralph! Everything you told me at my house tonight was a lie!
No, Denton. Your plan almost worked. I told you the truth. Except for the part about murdering Ingrid.
You should have studied psychiatry, Ralph.
I did, Denton. I had a good teacher. You.
Are we going home soon, darling?
Uh-huh.
You seem so far away, Ralph. Is anything wrong?
No. I've been thinking about Denton. Odd the way things turned out. He made up that story about the rapier and its belonging to Rasputin and its owners dying on the night of the full moon.
You don't believe it, do you?
No. But what he thought was a cheap blade turns out to be a priceless treasure. It matches the one Rasputin held in his hand in the painting.
That was coincidence, darling. Come on, now put your work away. Let's go home. It's late.
Mm-hmm.
Such a beautiful night, Ralph. Let's walk home.
All right. You know that painting Stasia started of Denton, the one that gave his plot away?
Yes.
It had a date on it. I wonder what ghostly hand guided her brush as she wrote that date.
Why?
The date she wrote was today's. There's a full moon. And tonight was the night Denton was electrocuted.
Valley 103.1 FM.
Saturday afternoon. Cruising in a car on a suburban highway are Curtis Tabor at the wheel and Mrs. Lily Lucas discussing the details of a plot.
Your husband home?
I'm not sure, Kurt. You better not take a chance. Let me out at the traffic light.
You think he'll tumble?
Don't you worry. You leave that to me.
You'll phone me, Lily.
Yes, and you come out first thing Sunday morning.
Yeah. That it, up the hill?
Mm-hmm. Gotta stop here.
You send the ad into the Times Herald?
Of course, last Saturday. They'll print it tomorrow.
Yeah, but your husband...
He doesn't know yet. I'll sell him the idea tonight.
And what a little salesman.
And I can pretend to telephone about placing the ad.
You beautiful devil, you.
Be careful. I'm not here.
Sure know how.
I'd better go now. You turn off here and I'll walk out. Bye.
Goodbye, darling. You devil, you.
That you, Lily?
Yes, George. Some letters for you.
I didn't know the mail had come. More bills, I guess.
Circulars, appeals for funds. George, didn't you mail last month's payment on the mortgage? Here's another letter from the bank.
Guess I'll have to get another loan on my insurance.
You better do something.
Did you get a lift from the station? I saw you getting out of the car at the light.
What of it?
Nothing. I only thought...
I know what you thought.
Oh, Lily, please.
The bus was late. No taxi. Mr. Birch's, something like that, lived near the bay. You know, if you hadn't sold the car, you could have picked me up.
Oh, Lily.
You and your silly jealousy.
Oh, really, dear, I didn't mean anything. I just happened to be looking out the window. Forgive me, Lily. Darling.
Oh, George, please. I'm sorry, dear. The insurance money's in my bag.
You're wonderful, darling.
That's the end of my savings account. You know what? Sometimes I think it was a mistake to put all the insurance Henry left me into this house.
Here I am, living in the house the money Henry's death brought. I should have gone with him that night. I'll never get over the feeling that I sent him to his death.
Oh, now we're grown up, George. It couldn't be helped. I've asked you please not to talk about it.
Oh, say, maybe that opening in the Times-Herald promotion department will pan out. Conley said he'd give me an interview next Saturday, but I'm afraid he didn't sound too keen about it.
George, kiss me.
Love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lily, I've been thinking. Your idea of renting one of our rooms.
Are you sure it's all right?
Well, why not? After all, many people do.
Well, you've been so opposed to it, I was afraid to mention it again. You're a dear, George. I'd better get dinner, darling.
I'll fix a fire in the fireplace.
Good.
There's a few logs left.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you phone that ad in, Lily? Time to catch tomorrow's paper.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Pennsylvania 6-6600.
Pennsylvania 6-6600.
Right.
Number, please.
Operator, Pennsylvania 6-5097.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello?
Lily?
I'd like to place an ad in Sunday's paper. Room for rent.
All set.
Furnished, garage, private family. Name is Lucas.
Lily, do you want to go?
Shh, shh, shh.
Oh, you're placing the ad.
11 Beechwood Road, Glencrest.
What's wrong, honey? Little Georgie there?
Yes, one time tomorrow.
Tomorrow's paper, right?
That's right. One time tomorrow.
Good.
Thank you.
I don't think there'll be any trouble renting that room, Lily.
No, George. I'm sure there won't. Want some more coffee?
No, thanks.
What's the paper say about the weather?
Sunday, mild, probably showers.
Oh, did they print our ad?
Uh-huh. Here it is.
Oh,
oh well.
Where are you going?
Garage. I ought to start overhauling that outboard motor.
Yeah, I'll pick up the dishes. We might get some early callers on that ad. Curtis.
Oh, good morning.
How do you do?
I'm interested in the room you advertised in Times Herald this morning. Where is he?
I'll show you the room. This way, please. It's on the ground floor.
Swell room, honey.
Oh, careful. Please. The garage is attached. This way. George! George, turn off that outboard motor. This gentleman's here about the room.
Oh, yes. Oh, good morning.
This is my husband, Mr.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Tabor.
How do
Curtis
you do?
Tabor. You know my card? Oh, Acme Motor Sales. Any being delivered these days?
Mr. Tabor likes the room.
I see you have your workshop here in the garage. Won't my car be in the way? Oh, no, no. As a matter of fact, I've been planning to move my stuff into the cellar. Got other machine tools there. And
I'll show Mr. Tabor the grounds, George.
Okay, honey.
Out this way, Mr. Tabor.
Nice garden.
It's lovely in the summer. We often dine out on this terrace.
Suits me. This driveway's perfect. Wide enough to back into without any trouble.
When would you care to move in, Mr. Tabor?
Oh, in a few days. Don't forget to go to the motor vehicle bureau tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Get your learner's permit so I can start giving you driving lessons. Mm-hmm. It's got to look like an accident, Lily. Like an accident.
Thank you.
is Saturday morning, just 1 week since George and Lily Lucas rented a room in their suburban house to Curtis Tabor, who with Mrs. Lucas is plotting the accidental death of Mr. Lucas. Unsuspecting, Mr. Lucas has left for the city to be interviewed for a position in the promotion department of the Times Herald. In the meantime...
Be right out, Kurt!
Come on, get in, Lily. Give me your first lesson. Baby.
No, please, Kurt. Not out here.
Okay. Know what George said when I drove into the station?
Hmm?
Said he'd hate to be hit with this car.
You don't think he suspected?
No. He was thinking of a collision. It's going to be easy, like taking candy from a baby. Too bad he's only carrying $25,000 worth of insurance.
Mm.
Now look, pay attention. This is ignition key.
Mm.
I turn it.
Yeah.
Now step on the starter. Right here.
Simple.
Now shut off the ignition. Now step on the starter. You hear that? It won't start with ignition off, but it sounds like the battery could be run down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'll have the car backed into the garage. You'll be at the wheel.
Yep.
I'll ask George to help me shove the car for a start. When he's between the wall and the rear bumper, you sneak the ignition on like this.
Mm-hmm.
Shift into reverse like this. And step hard on the starter, making the car jump back like this.
Oh!
And George will be crushed against the wall.
I see.
Now let's rehearse it until it's perfect. It's got to be perfect.
Lucas.
Hello, Frank.
Wow, George, you working here now?
For the Times Herald? Oh, not yet, but I've just been upstairs to see Conley in the promotion department.
Connect?
Well, he says he'll think it over.
Oh, well, how about a drink?
I don't know. I've got some shopping. And I'd like to place a situation wanted ad in the Sunday paper just in case.
Well, I got to pick up some reservations at Grand Central. Meet me in half an hour at the men's bar. Cheer up, you mug. See you in a little while.
Okay. Miss, is this the window for situations wanted?
Yes.
Here, I want to place this ad for Sunday.
6, 11, 12, 18. That'll be 3 lines, $1.23. Out of 5. 25, 50. 3, 4, 5. Your receipt, thank you.
Oh, I might as well pay for a room to rent ad we ran last Sunday.
L-A-L-I-L-U. Don't see any bill under Lucas. Maybe it's been paid.
No, I don't think so. It just phoned in.
I'll look at the paid bills. L-A-L-O... Lucas. It has been paid. Cash with order.
Are you sure? It was phoned in.
Not according to this duplicate. There's the date stamp. Paid Saturday, April 26th, 6:15 p.m.
Saturday, April 26th, but... Why, that was a week before she phoned it in.
Frank, this one's on me.
Well, here's to you and Lily. Oh, what's the matter, George? To you and Lily. Didn't you hear me? Hey, where are you going?
I'm back in a minute. I got to make a call. Operator, business office at Glencrest, please. Hello? I want to check the extra charge calls in our current bill, but only the calls made on Saturday, July 26th. Lucas, George Lucas, Glencrest 2481. Oh, well, wait a minute, I get a pencil. Okay. Lackawanna 487. Right. Pennsylvania 635. Uh-huh.
Pennsylvania 65097. Only three calls on July 26th, you sure? Oh, thank you. Not go on now. 4 8 7.
Greer's department store.
Never mind. Pennsylvania 6 3 5.
Supermarket.
Sorry, wrong number. Pennsylvania 65097.
What number are you calling?
Pennsylvania 65097, operator. What? Curtis Tabor.
That number has been disconnected.
Curtis Tabor.
Hello? Hello? I said that number has been disconnected.
Hey, George, you were gone so long, I came after you. Now, let's have some more drinks, huh?
Oh, sure. Let's have some more drinks. Let's have lots more drinks.
Disgusting. Put him on the bed, Kurt. Never saw him as drunk as this.
What a nice package. Lily.
Hmm?
We could throw him down the steps. Broken neck. Accident on the scatter rug you placed there.
Don't be a fool. A cabbie saw us carry him upstairs. Come on, help me get some of his clothes.
All right. See what I mean, Frank? Two-timer.
Who's this Frank?
Oh, how do I know?
My fool, Frank. I should have gone with Henry. I knew Henry was too drunk to drive. But Lily grabbed me. Kiss me, and I let Henry go. He was killed. She made me do it.
Who's this Henry?
My first husband. What about it?
I see. You're not an amateur at getting rid of husbands. You'll get another chance. That's it, Lily. I'll be back from the drugstore any minute. But wait for my nod. I'll be back there with him, and I don't want to be caught between the rear bumper and that wall. It's for dear George, remember?
And?
Get set. Here he comes.
Oh, George, you mind helping me shove the car? The battery's run down. Just thought I'd give Lily another lesson today.
Sounded all right to me.
Yeah, I know, but it won't start. Come on back here and help me shovel.
Yeah.
All right, put it in second, Lily, and keep your foot on the clutch.
All right.
You all set?
Yep.
Okay, George, come on now, help me shove.
That's it, boy. Is a load.
That's it.
Get out of it.
No!
Lily, you bungled it. You waited too long after my nod. Swell job. Just broke his leg.
Oh, hello, George. How's the leg feeling?
Not too bad. Doc says I'll be off these crutches another week or so.
Oh, I'm sorry about it, George.
Sorry? What for? It was an accident.
These things happen, the way I figure it, when fate gives you the nod.
What?
It's simple. The nod was for me that day. Looks like I got another chance, doesn't it?
Anything I can get you in town?
No, thanks. Oh, I wonder, would you do me a favor? Get that outboard motor hooked over that barrel of water.
Oh, sure, gladly. Ooh, pretty heavy motor, huh?
Thanks. I think it needs some carburetor adjustment.
You want me to start it?
Oh, I can manage that.
Needs a tuning.
Well, it'll give me something to do.
George, isn't it dangerous running this motor down here? Fumes from the exhaust.
Well, there's an exhaust fan in that corner window just behind that bin. Oh, do you mind turning it on, Kurt?
No, no, not at all.
Drink?
Oh, no, thanks. No, no. George, you mind if I say something that's probably not any of my business?
Go ahead.
It's about your hitting the bottle since you got out of the hospital, George.
Let me be the judge of that.
I'm sorry. Shouldn't have mentioned it, I guess. Sorry. I'm taking Lily out for another driving lesson. Is that okay with you?
And if it weren't?
Well, just thought you might like to join us.
No, thanks.
Okay, we won't be gone long.
That's what you think.
Now step hard on the gas for that hill, Lily.
All right.
That's my girl. So you're getting to be a pretty good driver, huh?
Sure is a lovely view from up top here.
Now take it easy going down. Crossroad ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Get your foot off the gas.
My foot is off the gas. The brake's gone.
Grab the handbrake.
It won't hold.
Let me have that wheel. Keep your hand on the horn. Okay. Now we'll lose our speed going up the next hill. Okay. Now, quick, shift into low. That'll hold it from coasting back.
Oh. That was close.
Holy man. Lily, I wonder.
Huh?
I saw George fussing around the car this morning. Sister, your loving husband's wise to us. Those brakes were okay last night.
What are you going to do about it?
What I told you as soon as we get back. We'll get him started on a bottle in the cellar and have a couple with him to make it look good. Then when he's passed out, start the outboard motor. It'll look like he forgot to turn on the ventilating fan.
To sit in the car. This garage is too hot. Let's wait in the house.
No. No, I better sit here where we can hear that outboard motor. It might cut off. It'll be over soon.
I shouldn't have had that drink. I feel sleepy.
I only had a couple. I feel drowsy myself. Let's get some air.
Kurt, I'm sick.
Lily.
Where are you? I can't move.
Lily.
Kurt.
Drinks. Lily. Lily, we've been drunk. George, he did it. Let's get out.
Sleeping beauties.
Just move over from behind the wheel, darling wife. Have a long sleep, lovers. Lily, why did you have to do it? Goodbye, darling. To the sleeping pills upstairs in the medicine cabinet. Must get rid of them.
For the two we found in the car, Doc?
No, I'm afraid not. Full motors won't help them now, Inspector. Okay, boys. What about Mr. Lucas, Inspector?
Oh, didn't you know? Neck's broken. Too bad. He probably could have saved them if he hadn't slipped on that scatter rug.
That pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, drinking beer in a cabaret, was I having fun? Until one night she caught me right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing, mama, lay that pistol down. Oh, I see you every night, Bing, and I'll woo you every day. I'll be your regular mama, and I'll put that gun away.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packing, mama, lay the thing down before it goes off and hurts somebody. Oh, she kicked out my windshield and she hit me over the head. She cussed and cried and said I'd lied and she wished that I was dead.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin', mama, lay that pistol down. With three tough gals from deep down Texas way, we got no pals. They don't like the way we play. We're a rough, rootin', tootin', shootin' trio, but you ought to see my sister Cleo. She's a terror, make no error, but there ain't no lassie fair, is what we tell her.
Lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down. Pistol packin', mama, lay that pistol down.
Happy made a batch of corn, the revenuers came. The draw was slow, so now they know you can't do that to maim.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down.
Pistol packin', mama, lay that pistol down.
Oh, singing songs in a cabaret, was I having fun? Till one night it didn't seem right, now I'm on the run.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe, lay that pistol down, pistol packin' mama, lay that pistol down.
Oh,
flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.